Well, good morning and welcome to those who are joining us online. We have a good group, and it's awesome to watch this first service begin to grow, and we're anticipating that that continues to grow. It's so fun to be a part of a church like this. I know Pastor Jeff mentioned the Align conference we had last Saturday, and we had a lot of people from our five campuses join us. The part that I thought was pretty interesting, and one of the things that we try to be as Bridgewater is we try to be open-handed with other churches in the area. Do you understand, like, we're not in competition with the other churches? We're on the same team. And so what we want to do is encourage people as much as we can. We want to help them as much as we can. And part of that conference, I think we had 11 or 12 churches that were a part of the Align conference. And I don't want to exaggerate. I think we had 50, plus 50 people from other churches that were at that conference help being trained along with our people. And so we're grateful that our church does that. The other thing that we do is he mentioned next week is Mother's Day. We're celebrating all women. We know that some days that weekend can be a tough weekend for some people, and we just celebrate all women. One of the things we're doing at our campus is next Saturday is a huge garage sale for the whole community here, right? And it's a big event in our community. And so we're going to be setting up a tent there, and we're going to be offering free back rubs, literally by massage therapist for, sorry guys, it's for the women of the community. And so anyways, we're going to be setting up, I think we have two massage therapists that will be there. We'll be setting up a tent, and we're going to just say to the community, we think you guys are awesome. And thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing here in the community. And so we're looking forward to next Saturday as well, just having another reach into our community. We are in the third week of our But God series, and I have really enjoyed this series because I think it's so relevant for all of us. It's those times where circumstances look somewhat bleak or out of control, and as we're walking through life, we're starting to worry about, like, what's going to happen? And then God has a way of showing up and letting us know that he's there. And maybe he doesn't necessarily change the circumstance, but oftentimes he changes our attitude towards those circumstances. And so if you have missed any of our series of this But God series or any of the other messages, you can go online, you can watch our sermons, or you can listen on podcast. And so we're excited about what God's doing, and part of that is because of your generosity that we're able to do that. As I thought through the series of the times where God showed up in our life, those moments in my life where I stepped back and looked and said, God, why would you be doing that? It doesn't make any sense. There's times that I've gone through periods of confusion and bewilderment and doing, God, like, I don't understand what's happening. And then all of a sudden you see God putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And in some ways, not always, but in some ways, he starts showing you a little bit of what's happening, what he's doing in your life, how he's using you to serve others, and ultimately how he's bringing glory to himself. And so when I watch this puzzle come together, it's usually an event or a series of events that God changes my heart and changes the way that he wants to use me. So as I thought about it, some of you who are newer to our campus, and I've shared this story before, but there's times in our life where we had those moments where we go, like, I don't get what's going on here. So maybe you've heard this story. I'm going to give you the front end of the story, and I'm going to give you some of the back end as well. So if you're here and you've already heard it, I apologize. I'm getting older, and I just keep repeating my story. So that's just the way it is. But so I got a phone call. I was sitting in my office in Ohio, and I got a phone call from two buddies of mine. And they were from Florida, and they said to me, we have a situation in Florida that's going on that we think you could help us. And they started telling me a story of a camp that was really in a bad situation. And they said, because of your interest in business as well as your pastoral experience, we believe God can take you and use the giftedness that he's given you, and you can help turn this camp around. It's in troubled times, possibly going bankrupt. It had lost a reputation in the state of Florida. And they said, we want you to kind of come down and fix this if you can. And here's what's funny. They were kind of confident in that whole part of the plea, like, yeah, you could do this. And then they got real sheepish on the phone because then they told me about the financial package. And what they told me was this. They said, so you got to understand something. We can't afford to pay you at all. We can't afford to move you. We have no money. There's going to be no health care. There's no retirement plan. And there is a house that you can stay in at the camp, and you can eat all the camp food you want. And they said that was the plan. Well, I laughed. I literally laughed on the phone and said, there's no way. And so I went home, and I talked to my wife, and I said, hey, Kim, you know, you won't believe this phone call I got today. It's crazy. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense. And when I told her about it, and I was laughing, she just stopped and she goes, Barry, we got to pray about this. And I thought to myself, like, have you lost your mind? There's absolutely nothing to pray about. This would be a foolish decision, humanly speaking, for us to do that. So God led us to Florida. And so I've told that story before, and some of you, the backside of the story is the way that God provided. And the way God started showing up, and again, God has allowed me to be a part of some pretty amazing things. I think about what God has done in Conklin in the last 4.5 years, and I just sit there and go, I actually get chills when I think about what God's done. If I would go back and pick a period of time where I watched God show up in our life, it was when we were in Florida in a way that, like, it was almost miraculous. Like, you sat back and going, I don't know how that happens. And you try to figure it out, and you can't even figure it out. That's how far out it was, that some of the things that God did. And here's one of the things that God did. So for some reason, when people move, they always call me. And again, if you're online, don't call me because I'm not moving anymore. I just finally said, I put a line in the sand. I'm not helping anybody move from this point forward. So don't call me. I'm not helping you. But up to a certain point, about a year ago, I used to help people move all the time, and especially when there's heavy objects. And they said, hey, can you help us? So this guy had a piano to move, and he said, could you help me? Yeah, get the big guy. He'll help us. So I was helping him move the piano, and in Florida, he was right next to his house. There were these two empty lots. They had Lakeview. It was the biggest lake in Highlands County down in Florida. And so I saw these lots, and they had these really primitive-looking signs with phone numbers on them. And so I kind of walked over and kind of wrote the numbers down. And so I got home, and I called the guy, and I said, hey, tell me how much you're selling your lots for. So he told me what one of the lots were for, and I sat there and said, so what would you sell them if I bought both of your lots? Now, you got to understand, I have no money. Like, I'm making no money at all, okay? So I'm sitting there going, hey, how much would you sell those two lots for? And he started telling me, and I said, hey, I got a better idea. So what if you finance them for me? And I'll pay interest rate above market rate. And I can't believe it. He said, okay. Like, he said, yeah, I'll do that. And so now I had to worry about making monthly payments, but I said, we'll figure this out. So we bought two Lakeview lots in Florida, and I was in a place where I was making no money. And I thought, man, this is going to be great. So God provided a way. And so we started making payments, and what we happened in Florida at the time is we were kind of at the very beginning of this marketing, this house market boom that they had, this real estate boom they had in Florida, and we kind of got in at the entry level. 11 months later, the property had tripled in value in 11 months, and we had to wait a couple of weeks. We had to wait till over a year for tax purposes to sell the property, but we sold the two lots. Money that I hadn't put down, I'd only made 11 payments on it, and we sold it for 3 times what we bought it for. You got to go back to the whole situation of what we did. We stepped out in faith and said, God, we trust you. It makes absolutely zero sense what's going on, and we're putting our confidence in you that you know what you're doing, even though we apparently don't. And I could tell you story after story of the ways that God showed up in that season of our life and did absolutely absurd things to provide for our family. Here's what the cool thing is. We had 3 little children that I got to point to all the time and say, do you see what God did? Did you see how God showed up? Did you see how God met our needs? We went through a season of our life where we had to trust God because we absolutely had no other option but to put our faith in him. Some of you are here today, and you're going through something that you don't understand and makes no sense to you. Some of you are in pain, you're hurting, you're in your anxiety, you feel like you're lonely, whatever it is. You're sitting there and saying, I need God to show up. I need a but God moment in our life. And I can tell you this, the one thing that I have absolute confidence in my life is that God is faithful, and he's always been faithful to me. If I knew God gave me one last sermon to preach, he said, this is it. You're one and done. You know what I'd preach on? I would preach on the faithfulness of God, because God has never failed me once. I want you to know that we've been through all kinds of circumstances in life. We've talked about 3 hurricanes, multiple floods. We've talked about a loss of a child. And I want you to know this. God has always, he has always been faithful to me. And if you can walk away today or in this series, this But God series, and you take one thing with you, I want you to know, but God. But God has a way of showing up and meeting our needs and meeting us right where we are at. Today we're going to look at a story of an Old Testament, popular story, of an Old Testament, a figure who was going through a situation in his life where over and over again he had to come to the place and say, God, what in the world are you doing? Why have you put me in this situation? So if you have your copy of the scriptures, or you can open your app to Genesis chapter 37, I would encourage you to do that. And today we're going to look at the story of Joseph, and his is a story of both triumph and trial. It's a story where he saw the thrill of victory, but he also saw the agony of defeat. Joseph was the son of Jacob. Just a little background history. Jacob was kind of the patriarch of what we know as Israel now. I know we go back to Abraham, but Jacob had the sons, and his sons became the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph was one of his sons. And as we look at Jacob's family, unfortunately, I know your family is probably perfect, right? You have no problems in your family. But Joseph's family was like messed up really bad. And so there's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of sibling rivalry. And so there are some difficulties in this situation, but we're going to watch God show up in the middle of it. We're going to see that there's actually purpose in the pain, that there's maybe a plan in the midst of the chaos. Do you know sometimes God takes us through times that are trials and times of adversity? You know what he does? He's preparing us to look at other people differently, to actually have some compassion and some empathy towards people and what those people are going through. There are times that God shows up in our adversity, and what he's doing is creating a platform. And I look back and I say, you know, it's almost like Tozer said, it's unlikely that God will use people greatly until he's wounded them deeply, because it's the platform that God uses, that pain in our life that God often uses as we minister to other people. I am a much different pastor today than when I was 25 years old. You know why? Because I've gone through a ton of stuff in life, and I look at people totally differently, and God has given me a different platform to share his truth. I want you to know that God often takes our adversity and he molds us into who he wants us to be. The ultimate objective in what we go through in life is this. He wants us to look like him. And unfortunately for Christians is when we go through those times of prosperity, we typically turn our back on God. We walk away from him. We do it our own way. And then when we do it our way and we start looking like us, sometimes it's not very pretty, right? But God takes us through those times where we need to lean on him. We need to hang on to him. And he makes us a whole lot more like him, and he makes us biblically attractive. He makes us more like him. And ultimately, God takes our pain, and he brings glory to us. So to me, this is a message that means a lot to me. And as I look through this group of people, and I think about those who are online, and I go through and actually, I model things in my head as I start preaching through, and I start thinking about specific people and their pain. All I want you to do is walk away with this. God's faithful. God is faithful no matter what you're going through. Here's the first thing I want you to realize. God doesn't waste our circumstances. God does not waste our circumstances. When things begin to look bleak, God has a way of taking those circumstances and using them. We're going to look at the story from Genesis chapter 37. And I'm going to give you some background information just to lead up to where we're going. It says this in Genesis 37. This is an account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Now there's a problem right there, right? I mean, we all have favorites, but you don't want them to know that, right? Come on, Mom and Dad, you know that. Kids, if you're in here today, just ask your parents which one. They won't tell you, but they do have a favorite. I'm just kidding. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. So Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told this to his father as well, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is it that this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So here's an interesting story. So this is all unfolding. This is kind of the background of the story of Joseph. But I think Joseph understood to some degree that God had a plan for him. And whether he intentionally tried to torment his brothers with sharing the dream, or whether he came to a place and just kind of said, you know what, I don't know what's happening, but I'm having these like really weird dreams, and I'm not really sure what they mean, and he shared it. Either way, it didn't go well. So in Joseph's story, this is what happened. Joseph was Jacob's favorite, which doesn't go over well. Joseph is the one who did reconnaissance for the father. So when they were out on a project doing herding sheep or whatever they were doing, and something went wrong, Joseph would run back to Jacob and tell on his older siblings. That doesn't go well, right? Then he has a dream, two dreams, that says, basically, someday you're going to bow before me. Doesn't go well. Here's the worst. At Christmas time, when they all got their Christmas presents back then, Jacob gave his children clothes from like Big Lots or Kmart. But when Joseph opened his up, they were from like Hollister and like American Eagle. And so he had this like this really special outfit that he was wearing. And so they absolutely, absolutely hated Joseph. Now, I'm the youngest in my family, and if some of you do any kind of thing with birth order, that's not a shock to anyone, right? Because the way I act, I act like I'm the youngest in the family. And my siblings will say, and two of them watch online, they know he absolutely does act like the youngest one. Now, I'm the favorite, which is rightfully so. I should be the favorite of my family because I'm so special. And anyway, so, But if I went and told my siblings when I was a kid, I don't know about your family, but my brothers would have beat me like a drum, right? And they would have tied me to a pole in the basement with duct tape, and they would have left me there until mom found me. That's what would have happened. And so as we see this whole scenario unfolding, that's exactly what's happening in this family. They hate Joseph. But obviously, God's doing something in Joseph's life. So the story continues, and Joseph is walking to check up on his brothers. They see him coming from a distance, probably because he has a very nice outfit from Hollister on. They're going, oh, here comes Joseph. And as they're looking out at Joseph, they see him coming, and they start thinking, you know what? We hate this guy like a lot. What can we do? And before you know it, you see this whole plan begin to ramp up. And as the brothers talked, this is what they said. Let's kill him. I mean, you want to talk about having a messed up family. Let's kill our brother, and then we'll tell Dad that some wild beast got to him and killed him. But let's do away with him. Well, Reuben, one of the brothers, listened and said, hey, come on. Like, I don't like him either, but you can't, like, kill him. Like, you can't take his life. So what are we going to do with him? Well, here's a big cistern, a well with no water in it. Let's throw him in there. And so they take Joseph, they pick him up, and I could see these brothers just beating him, you know, because I'm sure they'd just pick him up and say, hey, let us let you down lightly. I'm sure they were throwing some serious rabbit punches as he's going down there. Threw him in the pit, probably taunted him in the pit. He was down there, and they're sitting there going, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? So he's in a pit, can't get out. They see this caravan of Ishmaelites going by on their way to Egypt. So they get this brainstorm, let's sell him. At least we can make a little money off him, right? We don't like him, but let's make some money off him. So they take Joseph out of the pit, sell him to the caravan. The caravan ends up in Egypt. Could you imagine being Joseph through this process? So Joseph ends up in Egypt. He gets sold into slavery to a guy named Potiphar. Potiphar was one of the executives for Pharaoh. So he was up in the inner circle of Pharaoh. He gets sold to Potiphar's household, and there he is, a slave. So He's there as a slave, and he starts doing his job well. He does it heartily unto God and not unto man, to a place where he went above and beyond his call of duty, and everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. Potiphar knew it, so Potiphar gave him basically reign over the whole house. You do whatever you want to do, because I know that we're connected, and since you've been here, things have turned around. This is actually what it says in Genesis 39. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessings of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Basically everything, absolutely everything Joseph touched turned to gold. Things were going great. So here's Joseph in slavery, God still blessing him in the middle of some really difficult circumstances. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife gets a look at this, and he was a good-looking guy. Like, I've never met Joseph before, but and he was seriously a really good-looking guy. He was built, walking around the house in whatever slaves wore of that time, and Potiphar's wife noticed. So Potiphar's wife made a suggestion to him that he do something that was outside of his job description. And what Joseph said was, like, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. And eventually, Joseph had to run away. Well, she was so humiliated that she accused Joseph of doing something that he hadn't done. Joseph made the right decision, and he got accused of doing something that he didn't do. And guess what? Joseph ends up in prison. How would you feel? Like, honestly, how would you feel? I'm just trying to be the good guy, right? I'm trying to be the good brother. I'm trying to be the adult in the room with all these kids that are making big mistakes. It's not my fault that I tell my dad what my brothers are doing. I'm trying to save our family business. They throw me in a pit, sell me to a caravan of Ishmaelites. I get sold into slavery. I do my best job. I'm above board in everything I do, and now I'm in prison. How in the world does that make sense? See, here's the deal, though. For some of you, that's what your life feels like. You're sitting there going, absolutely nothing makes sense. Why am I here today? Why am I in the situation that I'm in? So when he's in prison, he has two cellmates that he meets. One who is the chief baker, one who is the chief cupbearer for Pharaoh. They did something to make Pharaoh mad. They ended up in prison. And so Joseph is talking to these two guys. In the midst of the conversation, both the cupbearer and the baker share that. He goes, I've had this dream. And Joseph basically responded to them and said, you know what? The dreams belong to God. Like, they're interpreted by him. So they shared their dreams with him, and he was able to interpret those dreams for the cupbearer and for the baker. And actually, what he told them was going to happen, happened. So they go back, they're restored to their position with Pharaoh as cupbearer and as baker. And as they're there, ironically, what a coincidence, Pharaoh has a dream. And it confuses Pharaoh, and the cupbearer and the baker go to Pharaoh and say, hey, we know this guy who's in prison, that he was able to interpret our dreams. Maybe he can interpret your dreams. This is how he responded to Pharaoh, Joseph. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. I love those two words. But God. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Think about it. From your brothers beating you and throwing you in a pit, to being in a caravan to Egypt, to being a slave in Potiphar's house, to ending up in prison, and now God takes it all and brings him to a place where he's standing behind, in front of the most powerful person of the world at that time, interpreting his dream. But God. I can't do it, but God can. Maybe some of you are here today, and you feel like you're going through an experience that you don't understand. One of the things that I want you to understand is God never wastes your experience. God will use those circumstances in your life for this, to grow you up to look like Him. He will use those circumstances in your life, if you let Him, to serve other people and to help them. And ultimately, God will take those experiences and He will bring glory to Himself. Because as it says in Romans, as God walks through life, He makes all things work together for good. To those who are called according to His purpose, He's pulling the events of your life together for a reason. I want you to know that God's not wasting your experience. We may waste the experience, but God will never waste your experience of what you're going through. Your hurt, your pain, your heartache, your difficulty, your adversity, no matter what you're going through, God will use it. When a hurricane went through our camp and ripped it to shreds, you would say, "What is the value in that, God? What is the value in that? There's absolutely no purpose in you tearing this place apart that we spent years trying to put back together. Why? For my glory. Barry, it's not your camp, it's mine, and I'll do what I want with it." And I want you to know from that day forward, you would not believe the platform that God gave us to share His goodness and His faithfulness. God continued to show up and put that camp back together in miraculous ways. Better than it was before. Isn't that interesting? How ironic. What a coincidence. And in all of it, we couldn't take any credit for what God did. All we could do is point people to say, it's Him. And in the state of Florida, where people had turned their backs on the camp, people turned back to the camp and went, wow, God's hand of blessing is all over it. Interesting. And it took a hurricane. See, some of us get in a place where we want to sit around and we whine and we complain and we murmur and all we say is, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Listen to me. God may take your woes and turn them into something that people look to and say, but God, this is an amazing God who does amazing things. But we don't give God that opportunity because we spend too much time looking in the mirror, complaining, being frustrated, and pouting. I have this bizarre confidence that God's going to show up in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my heartache, and do something amazing. And sometimes I sit back and go, this hurts a lot, but I can't wait to see what God's going to do in it. Because I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And that's why I say God is faithful. But I want you to know that I don't spend a lot of time looking in the mirror going, poor Barry. Poor Barry, life is so bad. It's too bad you had to go through this. There really are times where it's like, man, God creates the wave and I just want to catch it. And I know God's doing something. I know God is on the move. And I so want to be a part of it that I can't wait till God shows up and does something, till I have my but God moments. Son of you, man, you got to understand that God's faithful. Second thing I want you to know is that God meets me in my trouble. We become so cynical. We lose sight of a God who cares and who promises to show up. And I acknowledge the fact that there is a God and that He is sovereign. But sometimes when you're in prison, it doesn't help, right? As you're in your prison of loneliness, as you're in prison of anxiety, of financial difficulty, of relationship issues, when you're in your prison, sometimes it's really difficult to come back and say, God's faithful, but God. It's so easy for us to become cynical. This is where we go. It says this. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him, and He showed him kindness, and He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. God doesn't say He's going to take away you from your situation, but He does say He'll meet you in your trouble. God never says he'll take you out of your circumstances. He never promises that ever once. But he said, I will provide for you when you're there. You know how God provided for us? There are times that we had no idea what was going on. We didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We started to get into this darkness as a family. And then God sent someone to us who'd been through a similar circumstance. And this is what they said. We've been through it. And I want you to know that God is faithful and there is light at the end of the tunnel. He's in prison and God showed him favor. And it would have been easy for him to say, I don't care. All I see is the bars in front of me. What I don't see is that God's using me to perfect me, possibly to use me to help other people, and ultimately he's using me for the glory. Years later, we're still talking about Joseph. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes when God does a work in our life, the stories of his faithfulness go beyond the time that we breathe our breaths on this earth. Interesting. I love the verse. It says this, I will never, and I want to get never, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's his promise. Never. I love 1 Peter, and Peter's talking to people. Who's he talking to? People who are suffering. What's he saying, 1 Peter? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, we carry these burdens in our life that God never intended you to carry. He said, here I am. I'm enough. I'm here and I'm enough. Just hand me your burdens. No thanks, God. I want to carry it. I love carrying the weight of this burden on my shoulders. I want to walk around and just tell everybody, and we wear these heartaches on our sleeve. We walk around and go, oh, my life is so hard. And God is saying this. All your anxiety, give it to me. I will carry it for you. You say, maybe God's not faithful. Maybe you are not smart enough. We're not smart enough to take our burden and say, God, I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is yours here. Listen, I want you to know that God will meet you in your trouble and God will not waste your experience. Last thing I need to believe is this, that God uses our challenges for good. So because of all this unfolded, he ends up in front of Pharaoh. He ends up on Pharaoh's inner circle. He gets this responsibility that basically he will influence not only Egypt, but he will influence that whole region of the world. He shares his dream that says basically there's going to be 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine. And God used Joseph to set a blueprint how to preserve Egypt as well as guess who? Joseph's family. So we have all this food in the storehouses. Israel's in trouble. Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery, who beat him, threw him in a pit and got rid of him. They had to find out, what are we going to do? Egypt has food. Let's go to Egypt. Guess who his brothers had to go talk to ask for food? They didn't know it was Joseph. They went in. And guess what they did before they asked for food? They bowed down before him. They didn't know it was Joseph, but they bowed before him and they said, hey, we don't have enough food. Can you help us? Now, if you were Joseph, what would you do? Come on, don't be all noble. Look, I would have beat him, man. Like, I would have done something. And it said that Joseph wept. Joseph wept. And I think there's those moments where you look and say, wait a minute, this is why. God gives us a peek behind the curtain and he says, this is why. As he watched his brothers, he goes, oh, that's the fulfillment of that dream I had that led to all this trouble. And now God's going to use me to preserve my family. That's what it said in chapter 45. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. Oh, look at that word, those words. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph didn't know what the plan was, but God did. God had a plan the entire time, and it was a but God moment. Now, they were freaking out because they said, what happens when Jacob dies, our dad? Like, he's being nice to us now, but if Jacob dies, we're going to be in deep weeds because he's going to retaliate against us. And you can see Joseph going, you guys don't get it. In verse 50, that's what he says in chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. For you today, do you need a but God moment? You're sitting there saying, I don't understand what's unfolding in my life right now, and this isn't super comfortable. But maybe for the first time, you need to realize that God loves you. He's faithful. He wants to show up in your life. And maybe while you don't know the full plan right now, someday that's going to become a reality. Those days where it was uncomfortable, those days of lack of understanding, and those times that you had lack of faith, God shows up and does something not only for you, but he uses you to serve others. And ultimately in all of it, he gets the glory. I was thinking of the great theologian, Darius Rucker. Do you remember Hootie? Right, until he went to country? Okay, anyways. Have you ever heard the song This? I'd encourage you to listen to it. He says this, all the fights and the tears and the heartache I thought I'd never get through, and the moment I almost gave up all led me here to you. I didn't understand it way back when, but sitting here right now, it all makes perfect sense. Every spotlight I didn't make, every chance I did or didn't take, all the girls that broke my heart, all the doors that I had to close, all the things I knew but I didn't know, thank God for all I miss, because it led me here to this. All I can tell you is this. You can take this story and you can discard it, but I'm going to stand before you with my story and tell you this. There are times throughout my entire adult life that I had no clue what was going on. I just believed God was creating a wave and I just wanted to catch it. Made no sense why I ended up in certain places where I did, but then when we showed up and just said, God, we're here, use us however you want, and we got to watch God do some amazing things. Things that I can't truly explain, and there's actually things that I cannot take credit for. I want you to know that God doesn't waste our experiences. He never wastes our experiences. He wants to use you. And unfortunately, in our prosperity, we don't succeed very well, spiritually speaking. But in our heartache and in our pain and adversity, God shows up for our good and for his glory. God, thank you so much. You're an incredible God and you do incredible things. I praise you and give testimony to the fact that you've always been faithful. And for those who are here today, they may be walking through this season of their life with a big question of saying, I'm not sure. God, I pray that you'll show them that you're there and that you are enough. God, help us to lean on you in all circumstances, I ask.